Well, I'd like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts. I would like to read from Acts chapter 27. I encourage you to please look in your Bibles as we try to read and study from God's holy word. Acts, book of Acts chapter 27. The word of God here is describing the occasion where the apostle Paul was a prisoner, and as he was on a ship, was traveling, you recall how a great storm came up. The Apostle Paul and the other men that were on that ship, they were very much afraid for their lives. I want to read now from Acts chapter 27, beginning in verse 15. I encourage you to follow in the Word of God. I'll read, Lord willing, verses 15 through 25. The Word of God says, "And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." Do you see the disparity of these people? Have you ever been to that point in your life where you felt like that all hope was taken away? Felt like that you had just gone as far as you could possibly go. And I'm not talking about right now about you being in a ship somewhere. I'm not talking about you being in a literal storm somewhere. But I believe that in all of our lives that we have to go through some very difficult times. We go through times, sometimes it's financial problems. Sometimes it's work problems. Sometimes it's family problems. Sometimes it's even church problems. But sometimes we have great, serious problems in our lives. And in the midst of all of those problems, sometimes we get so weary that we feel like that all hope is lost. We're ready to give up. We feel like there's absolutely nothing that can be done to deliver us from the trouble that we're in. And that was where they were at this point. All hope was lost. Verse 21 says, "But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." The two main expressions that I want to mention first, and then we're going to a third expression. In verse 22, the Word of God says that Paul said, "Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I exhort you to be of good cheer. No matter how bad things get in your life, I exhort you to be of good cheer. No matter how bad things get in our nation, does not matter what happens in our nation, we still have a lot to be of good cheer about." Did you know that? I just want some of you to tell me any reason, no matter what happens to America, tell me any reason we have to be of good cheer. Brother John, tell me any reason.
Because we're citizens of a heavenly kingdom.
Yes, because we're citizens of a heavenly kingdom. Our nation may fall, it may collapse, but we're part of a kingdom that cannot be destroyed. We're citizens of a heavenly kingdom. And even though we may lose a lot of our possessions and we may lose many of the material things of this world, we are part of a kingdom that's better than any kingdom in this world. So that's a reason to be of good cheer. It's Somebody tell me another reason to be of good cheer no matter what happens in our nation. Say it again, Brother Rich. Yes, because God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient no matter what we face in our lives, no matter what you're going through right now. There are some people that are going through very difficult times. I want you to know that we ought to be of good cheer no matter what's happening in our lives. Be of good cheer. Why? Well, we're part of the heavenly kingdom. And the second thing is, God's grace is sufficient for us no matter what we go through in our lives. It doesn't matter if you're on your deathbed, God's grace is sufficient for thee. It doesn't matter what else is happening in this world. Doesn't matter what you're called on to face in your life. God's grace is sufficient for thee. You might say, I can't go on. That's true, that without God's help you can't go on. But by the grace of God you can continue on. God's grace is sufficient for thee. And that's a reason for you to be of good cheer, is because God's grace is sufficient for thee. What's another reason that we have to be of good cheer no matter what else is going on around us? Yes, God has promised in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's the reason that we can be of good cheer, is because God has said, I will be with you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And if you have God with you, that's all you need with you. You may not have anyone else left. David said, when my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will lift me up. So we need to understand, even if everyone that you love has died, or if everyone you love does die, I want you to know that God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that's a reason to be of good cheer. What's another reason we have to be of good cheer no matter what else happens in this world? Yes, because the Word of God says, the Apostle Paul said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. When you know that you're preserved in Christ Jesus our Lord, and you know that you're kept by the power of God, and you know that nothing can separate you from the love of God, and Jesus says, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me, and this is the Father's will, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. If you know that you've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what happens in this world. You know there's a better world when this world is over. So you can say, I can be of good cheer no matter what happens in this life. What's another reason you can be of good cheer in this life? No matter what's going on wrong, no matter how big the storms are, what's another reason you can be of good cheer? Say it again. Yes, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. In the world, he says in the book of John, he says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So the people of God, Jesus didn't hold back any punches. Jesus didn't say, you aren't going to have trouble. He says, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. That's another reason to be of good cheer. There are many, many other reasons that we could list as we go through the Word of God. There are numerous reasons that we have to be of good cheer, and we are without excuse. Sometime recently we studied on Wednesday night about excuses we make. If you're not of good cheer, you're without excuse. Anytime that I'm not of good cheer, I'm without excuse, because I have, and you have, as the people of God, we have every reason in the world to be of good cheer. If you love God and you're serving God, you're without excuse of not being of good cheer. So be of good cheer. Second thing he says is not only be of good cheer, but second thing that's probably inseparably connected with that is fear not. Fear not. Fear not and be of good cheer. Those are the two statements that Paul makes to the people here. He says, be of good cheer. In fact, he makes that statement two times. In verse 22, he says, be of good cheer. And then in verse 25, he says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for, what does he say here? For I believe God. I believe God. Isn't that wonderful? The Apostle Paul said, I believe God. If you believe God, not just if you believe in God, but if you believe God, like the Apostle Paul said, I believe, I know whom I have believed, And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Do you believe God? Do you believe that God is able to keep that which you have committed unto Him against that day? If you do, then you can be of good cheer. Fear not, and be of good cheer. There is no reason for the people of God to be afraid, no matter what the problems and circumstances and conditions are in life. We ought to be of good cheer, and we ought to fear not. Fear not, and be of good cheer. Now, the main thought that's on my mind is found in another expression in verse 23. Look again at verse 23. The Apostle Paul said, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." Now, that's not the angel that he belongs to and he serves. Who is it that he belongs to and that he serves? "There appeared to me this night the angel of God, it's God whom," he says, "whose I am and whom I serve." That's what I want us to think about tonight, is that if you realize and remember and you think about whose you are. There used to be a preacher here that was a good friend of mine, Brother Randy Neese, and we met here every week for years, and we still meet the other preachers, some of the preachers that are here. We meet every Thursday morning, and we pray. We pray for the respective congregations. We pray for the churches. We pray for our community. That Brother Randy Neese often would say, "God, help me to remember whose I am and who I serve. Help me remember whose I am." That's the first thing I want you to think about tonight. You need to remember every day whose you are. You need to remember that you belong to God. God has purchased you with His own blood, and you need to remember that. What will it cause you to do when you're thinking about who you belong to? It'll make you be of good cheer. It'll make you have no fear when you think about who you belong to. You belong to God. My mama used to often say, when I'd start to go out, she'd say, and my daddy would say sometimes, "You remember whose son you are." Now, what do you think they meant when they said, "You remember whose son you are"? They meant you better behave yourself, you better act right, you better do right, because you're a reflection on your parents. Whatever you do, everybody's going to be watching you, and they're going to think about what kind of parents you have. You are a reflection on them. Well, listen, brethren, I need to remember every day whose I am. I need to remember I belong to God. Whether I live, the Scripture says in Romans 14 and verse 8, if I live, I live unto the Lord, and if I die, I die unto the Lord. Whether I live, therefore, or die, I am what? I'm the Lord's. Whose are you? Who do you belong to? Let me ask you this. Why do you belong to God? I want to mention three ways that you belong to God. You belong to God because Jesus Christ has purchased you. God has purchased you with the blood of His precious Son. That means you belong to God, isn't it? Another reason you belong to God is because you are part of the family of God. God is your father. Just like I haven't had a natural father and I have a natural mother, I have a spiritual father. God is my father, and I'm born of God. And therefore, I'm a child of God, and I belong to God because I'm His child. And I can't remember the third way that I'm a child of God right now. But we'll get to it, Lord willing, before the night is over. You belong to God. Isn't that wonderful? You belong to God. Oh, I know. He created you. He made you. The Scripture says in the 100th Psalm, it is God that hath what? It is God that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people. Well, why are you His people? Why do you belong to God? You belong to God because Jesus paid for you. You belong to God because God is your Father. You belong to God because He made you. It is God that hath made us. Now, when you remember that you belong to God, when you remember whose you are and that you belong to God, it ought to give you peace and comfort in your soul to know you can be of good cheer and you can fear not because of whose you belong to, of who you belong to. I believe in God, whose I am. I belong to God. Look in your Bibles at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Please look in your Bibles at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. the Word of God here talks about how we are bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You know, when Peter expressed it this way, while you're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20, Peter says that we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. Have you ever heard people say it costs $2.42 per person to save somebody in another country? Have you ever heard such a thing as that? Or it costs $18 per person to save somebody in another country. Therefore, send us your money so that we can save them and they won't die and go to hell. All you have to do is just give us your money. I'm telling you, brethren, we are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. We're redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is not limited in saving anybody by you getting your money or not giving your money to other men. Jesus saved His people from their sins without the help or aid or instrumentality of man in any way. So who is it that bought you? Who do you belong to? You belong to God. Why do you belong to God? God chose you before the foundation of the world, and God gave His Son and bought you. He bought you body, soul, and spirit. You understand that? Your body belongs to God. Your soul belongs to God. Your spirit belongs to God. And one day your body, soul, and spirit are going to be with God forever in that eternal heaven. You know why? Because God paid for you. You don't belong to yourself. That's not your body. Whose body is that you have, that you live in? It's God's body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration of God, writes to the church of God at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 6, 19. And he says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? What does he mean there when he says ye are not your own? It means you belong to somebody else. You don't belong to yourself. You don't own yourself. Ye are not your own. You know, he asked that question like you must be stupid if you think that you belong to yourself. You know? What? You hear how he's wording that? What? Know ye not? You hear the wording there? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Don't you know that? And then he says in verse 20, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What does Paul say in Acts 27, verse 23? He says, I believe God, and I trust in God, and I have no fear, and I'm of good cheer, because I know I belong to God. It's God whose I am and whom I serve. Now, I want us to think about the second part of that for just a few minutes about serving God. Now, listen very carefully. Listen carefully. The fact that you belong to God is going to keep you out of eternal hell. Does everybody follow that? The fact that you have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you should have no fear of eternal hell. There is no reason for God's people to ever be afraid of eternal hell, because God changes not. Everybody that He loves today, He has loved from before the foundation of the world, and He will love forever, and every one of them are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and every one of them will be in eternal heaven. However, listen carefully, there is a reason for you and me to fear amidst all the troubles and problems of life. If we belong to God, that's okay. But listen, brethren, it's also important that you serve God. You remember what Paul said? God whose I am and whom I serve. My question to you right now is, if you belong to God, but you're not serving God, then when the storms of life come, can you find comfort and peace and joy in the midst of those storms? Will God give you comfort and peace and joy? My question is, do you have a reason? Do I have a reason to fear, even though I belong to God, if I am not serving God? Do I have a reason to fear with our nation be on the verge of collapse that it's on right now? Do I have a reason to fear if I'm not serving God? You see, what I want to get across tonight is that just because you belong to God, that's not a reason for you to have no fear while you live here in this world. Belonging to God should not get rid of your fear of God while you live here. Because those who belong to God, those who are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God judges them while they are here in this world. And if I don't serve God, though I belong to God, if I don't serve God, then when God sends His judgments on our nation, it's me that's going to suffer more than most people in America. Everybody understand that? The people who suffer the most when God brings His judgment on the nation are the people of God who belong to Him, but they are not what? They're not serving Him. They're not serving Him. Now, why could Paul have good cheer and no fear in Acts 27? He says, I believe God, whose I am and whom I serve. Was that a reason for Paul to have no fear right then? Was because he, not only because he belonged to God, but because he served God. I want you to turn your Bibles right now to Deuteronomy chapter 32, because in Deuteronomy chapter 32, the Word of God makes it very, very plain. If you'll follow in God's Word, you'll see that there are people who belong to God, that even though they do belong to God, and they are God's people, and God has saved them, and God has redeemed them, and God has purchased them, God will bring His severe judgments in their lives when they don't what?
Obey.
That's right. When they don't obey, when they don't serve Him. You don't want to serve God? That's your business. Well, it's not your business, because you belong to God. Can I make you serve God? Can I make you serve God? I can't make you serve God. I try to make people serve God sometimes. It's a waste of time. I don't know if I'll ever learn that in this world. But I can't make you serve God. Parents, do you sometimes want to make your children do something and sometimes get frustrated because you can't get them to do what you're trying to get them to do? Deuteronomy chapter 32. I want to begin with verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 32. What are we trying to look at right now? We're trying to look at the fact that it's not enough to belong to God. We must also serve God if we're going to ever be of good cheer and if we're going to have no fear when the troubles of life come. If we're going to have the peace of God, like Brother Rich was praying about earlier tonight, if we're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven and feel that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, you don't have that just because you belong to God. You have that because you belong to Him and if you serve Him. Look now at Deuteronomy chapter 32 beginning in verse 6. And I encourage you to go home and read this entire chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 6, the Word of God says, "Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise?" In other words, are you going to give back something as deplorable as what you're giving back to God? Are you going to give that to the Lord after all the good things God's done for you? Have you ever done that? Have you ever been unfaithful in your service to God in spite of all that God's done for you? That's what God is asking them right here. He says, "Do you thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not He thy Father that hath bought thee?" Do you hear that? Are these children of God that He's talking about right here who have requited God in an ungodly way, in an unthankful way? He says, Is not He thy Father that hath bought thee? Hath He not made thee and established thee?" Are there three different ways that you belong to God found in this one verse of Scripture? He's thy Father, He has made you, and He has bought you, and He has established you. And you would turn around and fail to serve Him. You hear the rebuke that's in this expression in verse 6. Now come down to verse 9. Verse 9 says, "For the Lord's portion is His people." Are we talking about God's people? Are they His? What are the two statements Paul made in Acts 27, verse 23? God, whose I am, and then what's the second statement? And whom I serve. Verse 9, he's talking about these particular people, His chosen people, His redeemed people, in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 9, and he says, "For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in a waste howling wilderness. He led him about and He instructed him and He kept him as the apple of His eye." Verse 13 says, "He made him ride on high places of the earth." It continues to talk about all the blessings that God poured out on whom? Who is He pouring them out on? Jacob, which is representing whom? Israel, his people. But, verse 15 says, in spite of all God did for them, but Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Are we talking about children of God here? Do they still belong to God? But are they serving God? Is it enough to belong to God, or do you also have to serve God in order to not experience His judgments? You have to belong to Him and you have to serve Him if you're not going to experience His judgments while you live here in this world. Come down to verse 18. Well, let me read 16. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. Anybody here have any strange gods? Is there anybody here that has strange gods? Hold up your hand if you've got any strange gods in your life. Any strange gods. God says here, they provoked him to jealousy with their strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not unto God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not, of the rock that begat them, thou art unmindful. Who is the rock that begat them? Who is that? Of the rock that begat them, thou art unmindful. Who is that rock that begat them?
Jesus Christ.
That's Jesus Christ. Of the rock that begat them, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, He abhorred them. Who did He abhor? Are they His people? Do they belong to Him? Heads are going both ways. Yes, these are still His people. They belong to Him. What's the problem? What's the problem? They belong to Him, but what? But they're not serving Him. What's the point? The point we're trying to get at tonight is that when Paul said in Acts 27, verse 23, God, whose I am and whom I serve. The Apostle Paul was making a great declaration there. He was not boasting, but the Spirit of God had come to him. The angel of God had come to him and said, be of good cheer. I'm going to spare your life, and I'm going to spare all of those lives in this ship. And I'm going to spare them because you belong to me and you're serving me. Does everybody follow that? Let me ask you, can you save your household? Can you save your household? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Do you want to save Waycross, Georgia? You want to save this community? I want to. That ought to be a desire that everybody has. We want to save Waycross, Georgia. I'm out there trying to save the community. Did you know that? How many of you think I'm talking about saving them from eternal hell to eternal heaven? Thank the Lord. That's not what I'm out there trying to do. But I am trying to save God's people, whom He's already saved from eternal hell to eternal heaven. I'm trying to save God's people who belong to Him. I want us to serve Him. Why? So we can be of good cheer and we can have no fear. Because the storm is coming. Mark it down, write it down, whatever you need to do. Trouble's coming, brethren. Trouble's coming. Big trouble's coming. And the only ones that are going to be spared when that big trouble comes is the people of God who belong to Him and what? Serve Him and are serving Him. Look at verse 19. Verse 19, we're still in Deuteronomy 32, verse 19. And when the Lord saw it, He abhorred them because of the provoking of what? Of His sons and of His daughters. Are they God's children that we're talking about here? Absolutely. Had they provoked Him to anger? Yes, sir. Has our nation provoked God to anger? Yes, we have. How have we provoked God to anger? You just tell me two or three ways we have provoked God to anger. Abortion. Legalize the murder of unborn children. That's an abomination in the sight of God. Listen, just this past week, how have we as a nation, how have we proven that we despise the laws of God? Legalized gay marriage in California. And it's coming right, not just in California, it's going to come right across our nation. Now, those people voted against that. The people in California voted against gay marriage. The people in Georgia have voted against gay marriage. People in many states have voted against it. But do you know what's happening? It doesn't matter what the people want. The judges, we have dictators over us, and they're saying what's right and what's wrong, and the people have no voice in it. Our founding fathers did not set up the kind of government that's going on in our nation today. And I pray that God will help us to understand we're headed for rough times. And the only people that are going to ever be of good cheer and have no fear are those that belong to Him, yes, and are serving Him. May God help us all to realize the seriousness of the subject that's on my heart tonight. And may God help us all to serve the Lord, is my prayer for Christ's sake.